You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
Looks like Alec Murdaugh is going to be behind bars for the rest of his life. Pretty much no matter what at this point, even if he does get a retrial on the murder charges. And the judge really making sure of that, issuing a 40-year sentence just the other day for the financial crimes that he has been, that he pled guilty to, and then ultimately then convicted of. Joining me to discuss the future of Alec Murdaugh is Eric Fadis, former prosecutor and defense attorney. I found it interesting, Eric, that this was a pretty big sentencing for him. It was, you know, it wasn't quite the murder, but it's the sentencing for the big financial crimes trial. And you had Jim Griffin there, but no Dick Harpootalian at all, who's pretty much been by his side most of the time. And I think by most accounts considered somewhat of a family friend to him. Just a coincidence. Did he have something else going on with his Senate duties that day? Or are we starting to see a lot of the walls around Alec that seemed unbreakable starting to crumble?
You know, one thing that came out is Alec Murdaugh had lied allegedly in a polygraph. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, just the breadth of the financial crimes are so damning. I've got to imagine at some point these folks are going to want to gain some distance from him. They've done their duty. They've done their job. They've represented him well, I thought, mm-hmm. For the most part. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Dick was kind of trying to take some steps backward and resume his life in a way that doesn't involve Alec Murdaugh so directly.
Yeah, I mean, he has his own history, his own career. I mean, he's near retirement age. He's a senator, obviously liked enough publicly to get that sort of a position. So, I mean, I would imagine he's looking at his own legacy at this point with not trying to be, you know, crass here, not a lot of time left on this earth, honestly. And he may not want to have the word Alec Murdaugh attached to that legacy.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised about that. It's not uncommon for defense attorneys to represent high-profile folks who are just generally despised. That's not uncommon, but you don't want that to be your entire life. You don't want that to be the first thing that people think about when they talk about your legacy and your career. And I can't help but wonder if that's going through Dick's mind right now.
Let's talk about that polygraph test that Alec Murdaugh failed. Obviously, polygraphs not admittable into the actual trial itself, but how did that play a role in the sentencing? And I was kind of confused by that. So he did the polygraph, he failed it. Did that affect the sentencing? Can that affect the sentencing? It seems a little bit confusing. Maybe you can explain it better.
My understanding was that Alec Murdaugh agreed to a polygraph during which he was just going to tell it all. He was going to give the government all the information about the financial crimes that he had to assist them in exchange for some expectation of leniency. My understanding is that he wasn't completely forthcoming or truthful, according to the polygrapher. So that's a violation of that agreement with the government. The government probably said after that violation, we're not giving you any leniency at all. Now, can it come into the sentencing judge's consideration? That kind of varies by jurisdiction. But I've got to imagine that the prosecutors mentioned, hey, he told us he was going to be straight with us and give up all the info. And he didn't, judge. And so it's unclear to me whether that factored into the sentence or not, but certainly a violation of that, what are called proffer agreements with the government.
Because he got a far harsher sentence than was even expected. That's the thing, you know, almost to make up for the possibility that that the murder trial could go back and he could be acquitted on it or found innocent. Just kind of covering their bases right there. Did he make the wrong move with the financial crimes trial by pleading guilty? Should he have tried to fight this in some way, shape, or form? Would that have produced a better result for Alec?
You know, I have to go back to his testimony in the murder trial, mm-hmm. in which he discussed these financial crimes and essentially admitted to it. He had, I mean, in a roundabout way sometimes, but he admitted to a lot of the financial crimes on the stand. And so that really hamstringed his defense in the later federal economic crimes case. And so it was probably a little difficult to try and defend that when your client's already admitted to a bunch under oath. And so, you know, could there have been some more legal maneuvering? There always could have been. But as we see with this 40-year sentence, which is unusual in an economic crimes case, that's a very high sentence.
Yeah.
In an economic crimes case, he certainly is probably wishing he would have played it differently.
Yeah. Is there a path going forward for him to try and get that new trial? Obviously, the lower court, the judge wanted nothing to do with it, pretty much seemed to punt it down the way a bit. Becky Hill resigning now, which I'm not surprised by. But we did have a juror in that case there, in that evaluation anyway, saying, yes, I was influenced by Becky Hill. And the judge is still like, yeah, not good enough. Is this going to still rear its head? Do you think he's still going to try and fight the case somewhere at some point in time, knowing that even if he were to succeed, he's screwed?
Yeah, I think he is still going to persist in fighting that murder case. I think in part it might even be an ego thing.
Yeah.
It just seems like he thinks so highly of himself and loves to hear himself talk. And I think this is not the last we're going to see in terms of his attempts to overturn that murder case. Like you said, though, is that going to matter? He's got 40 years hanging over his head on the federal case. Even if he gets a new trial in the murder case, he's still got that decades long sentence. And as a gentleman who is at least slightly older in age, that's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the next question is who's going to defend him because he's out of money. Allegedly. So you got, Dick and Jim, who I think are probably on their last legs with him. I mean, do we go to public defender or do we see Alec try to defend himself and try to go down that road? Now that ultimately is truly what I'm rooting for over here, because oh my God,
too.
We're gonna get so many downloads.
That'd be a wild event, man. He is an attorney, but he has practiced some criminal law, Alec Murdoch. But I'm wondering if there isn't another attorney who comes out of the woodwork who may want to try to make a name for themselves or get some public exposure, who is not a public defender and who may take up the appeal in part for those reasons. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to continue to watch. But for right now, a big blow to the possibility of Alec Murdoch ever seeing the light of day again doesn't look too likely.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.